Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming. Today, I want to speak a little bit about the Christian life and how to become a Christian. And if we are already Christians, how then do we go forward? So I've got a few wee verses that I'll refer to, and they should come up on the screen. But first, as we speak about the Christian life, when someone says the Christian life, you'll probably think the life that you live. Most of us might already be Christians, and if that's the case, then that's good. The Christian life, when I refer to it today, we'll be talking about not just the Christian way of living, as in a Christian living their life, but today we're going to focus our attention on the Christian life that Jesus gave us. So the Christian life that Jesus gave us is eternal life, and it's everlasting life. So that's what I want to really think about today, the gift that God has given us as Christians, how we got that gift, and what we do once we get that gift. So, in order to understand that gift from God, we need to look back at what Jesus actually did and how we actually receive eternal life. You might be sitting there and you might not be a Christian this morning, and you might think, why do we need eternal life? You might think to yourself that you're a good person. I might think to myself that I'm quite a good person when I compare myself to other people. And you might do the same. You might obey all the laws in Scotland and the UK. And you don't do very bad things. And there might be some people here today that don't think that they deserve eternal life because of the things that they know that they've done that are wrong. Some people think that eternal life is only for those good people that haven't done the really bad things in life, and they don't think that they deserve it because what they've done is wrong. So we could be one or the other with these things, but no matter what we think, good or bad, we need to remember what God says. And hopefully in the next 10 minutes, we'll find out what God has to say about that part of our life. Whether we think we live a good life, whether we think we live a bad life, let's see what God has to say. So God says in the Bible in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, and most of you will know this verse when it comes up. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's quite easy to understand, isn't it? All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. That means I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means Lindsay has sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means that we all of us in this room, all of them in that room there, and everyone outside this building, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. So the good person, the bad person that we spoke about earlier on, if you think you're a good person, if you think you're a bad person, God says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all means everyone. Everyone has. So that's what God says. Whether you think you're good or whether you think you're bad, God says that all of us have fallen short of his glory. All of us have things that we need to do. So when we've fallen short of the glory of God, how have we fallen short of the glory of God? How did we manage to get ourselves into a position where we were short on the glory of God, that we have all sinned. That's why we're short of the glory of God. Sin is that thing that is in our lives. It's all the bad things that we do. Sin is actually a rebellion against God. That's what it is. It's when you do something wrong. So a lot of people liken it to the Ten Commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments. Now, I could ask you to put your hand up if you've kept all the Ten Commandments. And you never know. Some hands might go up, but I'm not going to ask you. I've not kept the Ten Commandments. And that's why I fall short of the glory of God. That's why I know that I've sinned. Because God gave us these rules in which we must follow. But at some point, one way or another, whether you're in at the Sunday school, or whether you're grown up and working, or maybe even if you're retired, at some point in your life, you've fallen short of the glory of God by sinning. And sin separates us. Sin wants to destroy our lives, because if we just keep going sinning, our lives will be destroyed. Sin must be removed before God can take us into eternal life, this free gift. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, how do we remove it? How do we remove sin from our lives? Because I could say here today that I'm going to walk out the door and I'm not going to sin again. But that would likely end up me being sinful, because at one point between now and next Sunday, I will probably sin again. So you find yourself perplexed on what we can do about sin in our life. God gave us a way to deal with sin in our life. God will receive us back once he takes away our sin. And how did he take away our sin? Well, God sent Jesus to die to take away our sins. Now, most of us here will know that. But do we really know that? Lots of folk know that Jesus came and died for them. Lots of folk care, and lots of folk don't care. But what does it mean for us today? Well, for those of us who aren't Christians today, I would say that the important thing that we do today is that we become a Christian today. And how do we become a Christian today? Well, there's only one way the Bible teaches to become a Christian. And you don't need to pass a test, thankfully, because when I was at school, I didn't pass too many tests. And then when I left school, I passed a wee bit more, but still not too many tests. So there isn't a test. There's one way. Jesus is the way to get forgiveness for your sins, because Jesus, who was God's Son, came into the world and he died to take the punishment for our sins. And not only did he die, but he rose again 3 days later, defeating the death that was the penalty for sin, because sin, the bad things that we do, ultimately will lead to death. But Jesus even defeated death. So once he took all the punishment, he rose again 3 days later. If we believe that Jesus came and he died and we accept him, then we'll be saved. It says in John chapter 3 and verse 16. I don't know why I'm waiting coming up. Because most of us should know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when I speak to people about being a Christian, they think that it's this big, complicated set of rules. And that is it. God loved the world so much that he gave Jesus to die for our sins. And that if we believe in him, we will have eternal life. So, to receive eternal life, all that is required is that we believe in Jesus. So, my question is, do we believe in Jesus? It says in John chapter 3 and verse 36. Lindsay's not as fast at this as me. But it says here, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Why does God's wrath remain on them? Because they haven't dealt with their sin. They haven't asked Jesus to forgive them. So, the great thing here about God is that the light, that life he wants to give us, doesn't actually cost us anything. It doesn't actually cost anything. We actually can't buy it. So earlier on we were talking about the good person and the bad person. God didn't ask the good person to be good so that he could save them. Because even the good person is bad sometimes. Even the good person sins sometimes. And God didn't say to the bad person that there was nothing that they could do to get into eternal life. There's nothing that we can do, and there's nothing we can pay God with that will get us into eternal life. All we have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus, receive the Lord Jesus, and then all we have to do is thank God for sending the Lord Jesus. And it is that easy. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has put their trust in Jesus. They have believed, they have received, and then they go on thanking Jesus for what they have done for him. Now, once we believe, sometimes as we, every summer we do the summer camps, and as many of you know, that's where I received, that's where I became a Christian, at one of the summer camps. And from that time on, I went to camp every year, and then I became a leader, and I'm still a leader at camp. And we see young kids that take that step and they believe. But what should we do after it? If we believe and receive and we thank, there's always going to be an end time. So we don't receive Christ and then go straight to heaven. We still have to be here. We still have to be witnesses to everyone else who hasn't believed, received, and thanked God for everything that he's done for us. So we must be sure that God and our Lord Jesus will be here to help us with everything. And it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Be happy with what you have, because God will not leave us or forsake us. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, when I first became a Christian, when I was 14, I was at the summer camp, as I said. After that, I had to go back, and all my friends that never went to the summer camp that did come here, I had to then tell them that I'd become a Christian. And if we know these verses from the Bible, from when we become a Christian, that the Lord is my helper, and the Lord will be there, and if we rely on him, he will keep us right. He will keep us in the right path. And if we're not sure, and many years down the line, sometimes we become a Christian and then it sort of becomes the routine.